Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast presented by Anchor. Your hosts each week are Maddie.
But it burned. For me and her, it burned. There was a burning.
And the multi-talented Smitty.
There's worse ways to go than eating grilled cheese every day and having sex every day.
If you like sports sprinkled in with a little bit of shit, then this podcast is for you. Now, here are your hosts, Maddie and Smitty.
Welcome to the Sports and Shit Podcast for another episode with Maddie and Smitty. It is episode 12 of season 2, and it's sponsored by Lops Brewing in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. You can also follow us on Twitter at Sports and Shit Pod. You can follow us on Instagram at Sports Smitty, and we're also on Facebook. Send us an email. We haven't got an email in a while. sportsandshitpod@gmail.com. I am Maddie. And my co-host is the CEO of Pfizer, Smitty.
Yeah, don't I wish. What does that asshole make? He probably makes fucking $20 million a year. Oh, my God.
Raking it in. Yeah, got the vaccine.
Did ya?
Got number one. Yeah, went in seamless. You know, I'm an educator of sorts. Not only on this podcast, but in general.
In life. And, a life coach.
Yeah, I'm a life coach.
You and Tony Robbins.
I've thought about being a life coach, but I think one prerequisite is you have to have your own life in order in some way.
Well, you know what else I think you need is you need to be positive. And I don't think your negativity would help a ton of people.
No,
your outlook on life is probably not what people looking for a life coach are looking for.
No, it would be keep it real industries. I think.
Yeah. And yeah. Listen, asshole. Here's what I think about you. You have a lot of fucking problems in your life and you need to get your shit together. Snap out of it.
Right. Can you stop talking? Jesus, you just keep talking. So that wouldn't work. But anywho, I did get the vaccine and I went in as an educator. They didn't ask for any proof of my work at all, which I thought was a little odd. They just asked me. I said, yeah, I am. Great. And then I went in and the only thing about it was, and it didn't hurt or anything, but she really threw that needle like a dart at my arm.
Really?
She kind of overhanded it, you know, which, you know, typically I enjoy, but not in this realm.
She was coming in hot with the needle, was she?
Yeah, she was. I mean,
she was just looking at it.
Okay, just she said, take a deep breath and threw it like a dart at my arm. I'm like, is that thing hanging off there or what? Because I can't look. So that was it. And then I had to wait 15 minutes to make sure I didn't, you know, turn into a pumpkin or die
or anything.
Epileptic seizure or something. Mm-hmm. And then left. And that was it. So number two comes up in 21 days.
Good for you. So that's how long you have to wait, 21 days?
21 days in between, exactly. So they automatically put you in the 21st, you know, 21 days later.
I didn't know that. Because yeah. I'm nowhere near getting vaccinated.
No, unless you want to claim you're an educator.
Yeah, the fine people in Massachusetts, I pre-registered so that I know when I'm available to get it. And they pretty much just said, you're still registered, but we're not gonna tell you at all any information. No.
And they keep sending you reminders, which is cool.
Yeah.
That they didn't just erase you off the list.
Right. You're still That's registered. Fun. Well, great. Cause I would hope that you're not going to just randomly take me off the list.
No, I would assume that I would still be there.
Yeah.
But that's good. Yeah. So that's that. So now I'm halfway to being invincible and such.
That's excellent. That could be your superpower, invincibility.
Yeah, invincibility is going to be my superpower once I get the second dart in my arm in 21 days. All right, time for the news. The news is sponsored by Lops Brewing. It's a brewery and tasting room in downtown Woonsocket, Rhode Island, specializing in small batch ales and lagers. It's open 7 days a week, live music every Thursday at 6:30. Use coupon code SPORTS to get 10% off your online order. Visit www.lopsbrewing.com and follow at Lops Brewing for new beers and events. So there you have it. Lops Brewing coming at you.
And the weather's getting warm. We've talked about this. You got to get down there. You got to head out onto the patio. do some day drinking, some outside drinking. But also, Easter's coming up. So you got to go down there, use the code sports, order, pick up your Easter beers. Because everybody knows you hate your family. You don't like your family at all.
Right.
You need to be able to cope with that. Right. You know, you have the whole gang over for Easter. You know, gatherings can start to happen now again. So you have the whole family there. Maybe you like them. Maybe you buy them some lobs as a Easter basket present.
Maybe.
Or maybe you don't like them at all. And you use the booze to drown them out.
Yeah, get intoxicated.
So either way, lobs is a win-win right there.
It is. Lobs is helping you on Easter Sunday.
Pick up your Easter beers. Either way.
Yeah.
Whether you like your family or you hate them, alcohol and beer, especially from lobs, is always a good idea.
It is. And this year, Easter is in April, which is, you know, typically
when it is.
It should be.
Right.
Right.
Not so March.
April the 4th is Easter this year. Mm-hmm. So speaking of which, we'll have an Easter edition next week. And special guest, I think. Special guest alert. I'm keeping it on the down low.
Yeah, we got to keep this one on the down low because it's too good to spoil. You're gonna have to tune in and hear it for yourself.
Yeah, you really are. It's just a really good get by us, and it just speaks to, you know, how wonderful we are. All right, news coming at you from Lops Brewing. Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal has been charged with reckless homicide after a man died during a ceremony involving toad venom.
we'll just let that one, you know, kind of breathe on its own there a little bit.
Marinate like toad venom.
Right. Yeah. What on earth? First of all, the guy's a porn star. What are they? And they're using frog venom, toad venom. What are we? What?
Yeah, you're using toad venom. Is that a thing? Is that a fetish? Toad venom. If you're a porn star, okay, and you're of the Spanish nationality, would you call yourself Nacho?
I would not.
Okay,
I would not.
Nacho Vidal. No relation to Vidal Sassoon.
What about Gore Vidal?
Yeah, no, maybe that's why he picked Vidal. Maybe he's a big fan of that sort of thing. But Nacho used some toad venom in a ceremony, and the guy died. So now he's up for homicide charges. Because, you know, typically you want to test your toad venom vehemently.
To see if it's deadly?
Can you go to the FDA and say, like, hey, can I have some toad venom? Can you test it? Would they have the materials to test toad venom?
You know, I'm not sure.
Does it have to put a disclaimer now on the friggin' package?
Probably. Does the FDA have jurisdiction over toad venom? Right. Is that actually a food?
Christ. Now it's like the McDonald's cup when the woman burned herself. Now you got to put a caution thing on the toad venom.
Caution. Toad venom will kill you, especially if you're using it in a ceremony or a porn movie.
What part of the word venom don't you get? Like, oh, my Lord.
It's not toad juice. It's toad venom, kids.
No, it's venom. No, it's venom, and venom is typically toxic. It's
typically dangerous.
typically dangerous. You know what's also dangerous is these Krispy Kreme donuts.
What?
Yeah, Krispy Kreme is giving away a free donut every day for the rest of the year to people who have gotten the COVID-19 vaccine. Wow. Can I go to Krispy Kreme?
I mean, you should be all up in that shit, no?
I think I might. I got kind of the diabetes.
You got a receipt though? You got a receipt for your
I've got a receipt. I've got my vaccine card.
Yeah. You know, boom, card. There you go.
Yeah.
Go get some Krispy Kremes.
Do you like the Krispy Kreme?
Donuts? You know, honestly, they're a little too sweet for me.
You know what? You know, it was all the rage. I never really had one. They opened a couple in Maine. I went like the first time. It was pretty good, you know, pretty good. And then after a while, it was like the novelty kind of wore off. And I was like, you know, fine. I mean, they're fine. I don't know. I mean, they're tender as can be. They're light and fluffy.
It's too much like hairy. It's too much like melted candy to me. It doesn't. Yeah. It's just Lizard. Too sweet. I would rather have a glaze from Dunk's.
Yeah, I think so too, and maybe that's just, you know, how we were raised.
Probably,
you know, Dunk people. But I'll tell you what it is better than. It's better than banana ketchup. That is popular in the Philippines, according to Uberfax. Very popular in the Philippines.
Banana ketchup.
Banana ketchup. made from mashed bananas and spices to resemble tomato ketchup. Yeah. So if you...
Why wouldn't they just call it like a banana spread?
Yeah.
It's not ketchup, really, right?
Yeah.
What constitutes a ketchup?
Why wouldn't you just get fucking ketchup?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just use that? Right?
What constitutes calling something a ketchup?
That's an interesting thing.
Because they said tomato ketchup. Like, what makes...
You know, does vinegar make the ketchup? Because isn't vinegar in ketchup? Isn't that the thing that makes it tangy? Is the vinegar?
Yeah, but is that what makes ketchup ketchup? Is it the tang?
Well, it used to be catsup. Remember that? It came out as catsup. And there's some history behind ketchup that I really don't want to get into because I like, you know, listenership. So, I think catsup was the original name. And I think there's a story behind
Wait, stop right there.
Yeah.
You know the history of ketchup and you're not going to tell us?
No, I don't because I thought I did.
Well, you just said there was some history that you didn't want to get into because you enjoy listenership. But
I do.
But I don't know what you're talking about. I need to know.
Ketchup, it was catsup, okay?
Is it like
Words are derived from Chinese.
It's not like killing fish sauce. It's not like killing dead cats or anything, is it?
No. It's a pickled fish sauce, I guess, from Chinese.
Okay.
And it made its way to Malaysia where it became ketchup and then ketjap in Indonesia. And
this is fucking fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, they just changed the catsup by the late 1700s.
Not this part, but the fact that you know all this. This is,
yeah, I mean, well,
I can't believe this. This is unbelievable to me.
Google is a wonderful thing. So that's what happened. In New England, they added tomatoes to it in the 1700s, and it became catsup, and now it's banana ketchup, and the world has gone to shit. Okay, so a lecturer was fired for aggressive use of question marks. And he got a payout of $20,000. He was arrested. You know those people when they're doing the emails and they do the all caps.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not talking about like my dad who's 70 and he just doesn't get the fact that you have to get off the caps lock. I'm talking about people who just get aggressive and they'll dot 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 everything, like the passive aggressive dot dot dot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you say, well, you know, I can't make it tonight. Well, okay, well, have a good night then, dot, dot, dot. Dot, dot, dot is the ultimate passive-aggressive email punctuation.
It absolutely is. It absolutely 100%. Is. And I like to use the dot, 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 but more of like a pause when I'm texting. He, dot, 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 sucks. Something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You are good at that. Yeah, you are good at that. Or if you want like something like to really accentuate something, you'll put a period in between every word.
Yeah, I do that too.
Like, let's period fucking period go period.
Yes.
You know,
I do like to do that too.
Accentuate. Well, this guy was arrested because he got a little aggressive with the question marks, but he actually not arrested. He got fired. But
he should be arrested. He should be
for abuse of punctuation.
Abusive. Yeah. He should be arrested for that.
Did you see that in Baltimore? Speaking of petty crimes, see that in Baltimore that they are not going to prosecute prostitution, drug possession,
yeah,
and something else. They're not going to prosecute him.
Yeah, so this is actually this happened on The Wire, and The Wire was from the early 2000s. So this was an episode of The Wire where the cop was like to try to curb the drug use and try to clean up some of the corners in like nicer parts of the city. He kind of moved one of the majors in the show, like moved all the drug people into like one area where it was like old abandoned homes and whatnot, and they called it Hamsterdam. And that's immediately what I thought of when I saw this. Was this is the Wire? This is Hamsterdam, and they like foresaw what was going to happen.
Wow!
And it was Wire was based in Baltimore. It's the same fucking thing. It's unbelievable. Thing.
Well, right now in 2021, they're not going to prosecute those crimes anymore. Unbelievable. Yeah. So head over to Baltimore. Maybe we should go back to Baltimore. Not that we possess drugs or participate in prostitution of any sort.
But the waterfront area is nice.
It is nice. It is nice. Don't go, you know, three blocks to the left, but it is nice around the waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
You like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, don't you?
I do.
That was one of your go-tos.
It was. Well, it was actually my favorite.
It was your favorite. That's right. This man found a shrimp tail or multiple shrimp tails in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and he finds them in the box. I mean, we've heard some weird things about people finding things in their food, and some of it's planted and some of it's outrageous. Wasn't when we were working at Star Market back in the day, wasn't there a dead monkey in the box of bananas? Did you hear that? In the produce department?
A dead monkey in the box of bananas?
In the box of bananas?
That's 100% made. That's 100% made up.
Is that made up?
100% made up.
Right. I thought I heard that from someone. That's probably isn't
you probably up. Did hear it from someone, but it's 100% 100% made up. Did.
So this guy found shrimp tails in his in a Cinnamon Toast Crunch. So careful of the boxes when you don't reach in to the cereal box. Maybe you should have the toys and the little prizes in there. You know, the best thing ever I thought was the under the cap. Remember the old Pepsi bottles?
Yeah.
They had the under the cap thing where you could like get legitimate. It's like the lottery. You could get like legitimate like money or like legitimate things in the under the cap thing.
Yeah, you could. You could win like free drinks or a little bit of money or, I mean, that works.
Yeah, that does work. How about this? Jesus was about 5'5" tall. Did you know this?
I didn't know how tall Jesus was at
just
all.
I figured Jesus was 6 foot. You know what I mean? I mean, he's kind of tall, long hair, whatever, you know, long robe.
I mean,
sometimes when you wear the long robe, you look taller than you are, kind of thing.
Let me throw this out there. How tall are you?
I am 5'6".
Oh.
But now I want to go 5'5".
I was just going to say, I mean, maybe you were Jesus all along, but you're 5'6". Yeah.
See, we've talked about this before. Like, I lie and say 5'7", because I'm like 5'6" and change. So I try to say 5'7". Now I want to go backwards, I think. I want to go 5'5", Jesus.
Yeah. You absolutely should.
Yeah.
Absolutely should.
I have a lot of qualities of Jesus.
Yeah, you should just be like, you know, I could be Jesus. I'm 5'5".
I mean, there's a
legitimate chance that I am Jesus. Did 48 and more give you anything?
Did they 48 and me said I was a Neanderthal.
24
I don't
and
think
more.
Jesus is Neanderthal.
Yeah. Did they give you any hint that you could be Jesus?
No, but now I want to dig deeper. I think
you
I
should.
Think I might be Jesus's long lost cousin.
You should. You should absolutely do that.
I think there's genetic evidence.
Yeah.
Supporting that. We have another map.
Okay.
What each state finds most annoying in a coworker?
Oh boy!
Right. So this could be all over the proverbial map. All right, Massachusetts, too loud. Coworkers that are too loud in their cubicle and such.
Okay.
Too boisterous.
I mean, sure.
Okay. A lot of too louds up the East Coast because people just don't have a lot of patience in the East Coast.
No, they don't.
They really don't.
Not at all.
Delaware had gossip. But everybody else was too loud. Rhode Island had tardiness. They were just tired of their coworkers being tardy. There's a state in here, and you know me and maps. I have no fucking idea where it is or what state it is, but it says bad at their job.
Tremendous.
Minnesota has bad at their job. Pessimistic and negative on a couple of them. North Dakota has pessimistic and negative. I would never work there.
Yeah, so they would never get along with us.
Yeah, they would hate me there. What is a trait in a coworker that you just can't stand? And I'll tell you mine, because I have one.
Being
an asshole.
Yeah, I was gonna say being an asshole is kind of at the top of the list.
Here's what I can't stand, and I've learned this over time. Mm-hmm. If you have a coworker who constantly says how busy they are and how much work they have and so forth, is not a doing nearly as much work as they say they are.
That is correct.
And not nearly as much, because I've learned over time that real grinder out hard workers, it's just in their DNA. They don't talk about how hard they work. They just
do it
hard.
Right.
They just do it. Yeah. They don't have to tell you how hard they're working. That's what annoys me. And I've had people like that I've worked with. Like, you just roll your eyes like, okay, dude, like we get it. Like, we're all busy. But just constant, like, geez, I'm never going to get that done. Or, geez, I have this, and I'm worked how many hours after time, and I work from home, and I work. And that drives me nuts. So
okay, I just thought of mine, and this is what it is. It's someone that can't accept responsibility, that passes the buck. So let's say you make a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes at work. You know, it could be a little mistake, could be a big mistake that costs the company thousands of dollars, whatever.
Sure.
Either way. But if you're the type of person, this employee is the type of person to say, well, you know, it really wasn't my fault. It wasn't me. It was, you know, somebody sent it to me and then I had to do something else. And then, you know, something got filed up.
That's like the buck guy.
Like it wasn't their fault. You know, own it. If you made a mistake, own it. It was my fault. I fucked it up, and I'll do what I can to fix it.
Right.
That bugs me. That really bugs me. That's just going to be like, no, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do that. I didn't cause it. Right. It wasn't me.
Well, they did this and they didn't tell me this, but even though you probably should have known it.
Right. Or making excuses for something that happened. Like it's the same with sports. I tell the kids that I coach all the time, like, if you make a mistake, own it. Don't put it on somebody else. Like, if you throw the ball to first base and you throw it 10 feet over the first baseman's head and say, well, he didn't catch it. Right. That's not on him. Well, it's on you.
I hate that in basketball. Yeah. You fire a pass at his ankles, he doesn't catch it, and they throw their hands up. Like, how come you didn't catch that?
Right.
Because it was the worst pass I've ever seen in my life.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Don't make excuses.
Right.
You know, if you made the mistake, own up to it.
So I think less and less people own up to their mistakes now.
I agree.
It's just one of those things. And not as many hard workers as there used to be, probably. And I'm probably one of them. All right. So porn legend stands up and fights back against Utah politicians trying to ban porn from phones and tablets. So Utah, which, you know, is a Mormon state, is banning porn from phones and tablets, evidently.
They're going to leave it on the computer. So they're going to leave it on the computer?
Yeah, they're going to say go to the computer instead. No tablets, no phone. And there is a porn legend speaking out.
So they don't want you walking around looking at it, basically, is what they're saying.
No, they don't want you walking around or being at the, you know, just being at the restaurant or whatever it is that people do. Like, I don't know, you're waiting for a table and you're looking at porn.
You're using the free Wi-Fi at Dunkin' Donuts and on your tablet and you're looking at, you know, hardcore porn on a, you know, Saturday morning when you're sipping your Dunkin' Donuts and eating your old-fashioned donut. I mean, probably shouldn't do that.
I can't multitask at McDonald's. Those apple pies are fucking hot.
They are.
If you get that filling like on your chin and you're trying to look at porn, like that's just an accident waiting to happen. You're going to throw that phone.
Yeah. Jesus. And then somebody else is going to see it and then the whole world goes
to shit. You're looking at porn and I'm like, I got third-degree burns on my chin. You know, call an ambulance. So an adult film actress, Sherry DeVille, who I don't particularly know.
I'm not familiar with her work.
No, not at all, is fighting back.
Good for her.
Hey, if you're passionate about something, then just put all your energy right into it. That's what I say. Chase Claypool got caught up in a bar fight and kicked a man in the face. He plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he kicked a man in the face.
Why? So first of all, I never understood the athletes who get involved in this kind of shit.
Right. They're getting baited.
Yeah, I mean, they are. But aren't you going to like a VIP room? Don't you have somebody driving you?
You should have an Uber
or whatever. You should be in a VIP room. It should be relaxed. It should be chill. There should be no fighting. There should be no kicking.
I'll be honest, I have managed in my adult life not to come even close to a fight. I've been in one fight my whole life, third grade.
Yeah.
I think I've talked about this already.
We have talked about this.
Yeah, third grade, and there was one punch. I didn't throw it, and then someone's sister came out and said, that's enough. And that was the only fight I've ever been in. And I just don't get, like, I mean, I get getting hot and heated and getting rageful. And I mean, I drive, so I get that. But the whole activity of fighting, I just don't think I care enough about anything to fight with someone. Especially if I'm an athlete, like you said. I mean, what's this dude? What does he matter?
Yeah.
If he's chirping at you. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Kyle Van Noy is back with the New England Patriots. And he was asked about the biggest difference between Brian Flores, the linebackers coach, and the head coach. Because now he's the head coach of the Dolphins. And he's replied no comment on that one.
Yeah, so there's some underlying tension, something there. Obviously, there's a little bit of an issue, a little something that's grinding his gears.
Let me say this about Kyle Van Noy. Could be one of the luckiest men in America. Because he was just an average football player on a very bad football team. That came to the Patriots. They made him into the player he is.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to the Dolphins, $15 million a year. And then doesn't have, I mean, has an okay year. I mean, stats, I mean, he wasn't bad.
But no, he was pretty good. Anything, he was pretty good
but
for them.
He wasn't worth $15 million. And then they let him go. And you know, let him go to the Patriots or whatever, back to the Patriots. And he tends to run his mouth.
He does.
A lot. He does. And he's done this before. He did with this with the Patriots when he left the Patriots.
Yeah.
He ran his mouth about revenge tour and all this other stuff. Whatever, dude. Just tackle people and be done with this. People are all happy he's back, and that's fine. I mean, they definitely need linebacker help. But it's Kyle Van Noy, folks.
Yeah, I mean, he'll help them. There's no question about that. And they got him on a reduced.
It was so bad.
They got him on a reduced contract. So I mean, I'm happy to see him back. I think he'll help. But yeah, like you said, fine. I mean, it's not anything that's gonna, you know, knock me over or anything.
No, it's not. Mike Tyson was in the news. He said an exhibition fight with Evander Holyfield is on for May. Would you watch Tyson Holyfield go toe to toe for a third time?
Yes, I would.
I would watch this.
I would watch Tyson fight pretty much anyone.
Any common civilian. Anybody. Yeah. Like anybody. I would too.
Yeah. I mean, I like watching the part in the Hangover when he just knocks the shit out of Zach Galifianakis. Right. So, yeah.
I've said this again, and we talked about this when he fought Roy George Jr. Would you ever get in a ring with Mike Tyson?
No.
I don't care how old he is. I don't care if he's 92. I would never get in the ring. He is a deranged individual.
I mean, he bit someone's ear off in the ring. Bit
Evander Holyfield's ear off. Was getting back in the ring with him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what Evander Holyfield looks like right now. I mean,
yeah, somebody was talking about this, and they said Holyfield's in like really bad shape.
Oh,
like,
man, can
barely put sentences together. Like, I don't know for him. But I mean, maybe he needs the payday. If he needs the payday, you know, more power to him. But
that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
really
it is
dangerous.
It is.
I you know what? I'll watch the danger. So Bewitched, the movie, is in development at Sony. They're bringing Bewitched back from the 60s. 70s.
Yeah, 60s, 70s TV.
Larry Hagman.
Was it Larry Hagman?
From Dallas. Was he in that one? No, was he in Bewitched or was he in... he was in Bewitched.
Didn't they change the guy?
Did they change the guy?
Yeah. I think they changed the actor after like a year or two. I could be thinking of I Dream of Jeannie too, though. You might be right about that.
I could be too. I get them mixed up. This is Darren. This might be the other guy. He was in one. He might have been in I Dream of Jeannie. Larry Hagman, but they're bringing it back. And it just speaks to, they don't really have a lot of good ideas. So they're bringing back all the nostalgia.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. I'm a huge fan of the reboots. Like the more reboots that we can do, the better everything is. Like, let's just rehash all the old ideas with new actors. And then it will be just exactly the same or worse. That's an excellent idea. Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah,
what's next?
Coming to America, I heard, was just...
I heard that was terrible.
Just really bad.
I was looking forward to that.
Right, I was too, but it's... And I could... You know what? I could see... I haven't even seen it, and I could see how it would be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they were way past their prime, and I'm sure it was a money grab. Big shout out to Cher. She's trying to save the world's loneliest elephant.
Well, that's nice. Right.
Yeah,
it's a nice thing to do.
You know, she's like 70-something years old, Cher. My parents have seen her. They liked her.
She's saying... If you believe in life after love.
Right? Yes, just like that. Yeah. If you believe. Yes, she sang that. And also, the Sonny Bono.
I got you, babe.
Cher actually had quite a few singles that I can't think of right now. Oh, you know who I heard the other day? Because we talk about music a lot and bands you don't like. I see you as a guy who doesn't like Duncan Sheik. I heard.
Okay,
what's that song? Barely Breathing.
Oh, Barely Breathing.
I am barely breathing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of that song. I'm not a fan. That's the only Duncan Sheik song I know, and I am not a fan of it.
I thought that's the only Duncan Sheik song that there was out.
That's probably true.
I mean,
that's probably true.
Yeah,
I just did think of another Cher song. If you could turn back time, that's a Cher song too, right?
Was that Cher or the Crash Test Dummies? It sounded like the Crash Test Dummies.
Well, I'm a man. She is a woman, so there's there's a little difference there.
I can turn back.
Isn't that the video where she's on like the aircraft carrier and like the black one piece fishnet thing? She's dancing.
Yes, up the Wahoo.
Yeah. Isn't that the thing? Isn't that the one? But she's on the aircraft. So. If I could turn back time.
Right. And she's got like this.
Yeah. The black tape, like right up, coming up from
literally
the.
Literally just covering her privates.
Yeah. Her crotch. Yeah. Crotchal region.
Yeah. Her crotchal. Yeah. So police have reported that a Florida mom shows up to a daughter's school wearing boxing gloves to fight a child and gets arrested. She told the school it was super glued to her wrist and she couldn't remove it.
The boxing gloves?
She wore boxing gloves to school so she would beat up a child that's probably harassing her child or what have you.
Right.
So she was going to try to beat up a child. She brought boxing gloves.
Well, I mean, at least she wasn't trying to bare knuckle fight a kid. I mean, at least there's that. She's like, I'm going to beat the shit out of this kid, but I'm going to put boxing gloves on. And they weren't even MMA gloves, so they were a little softer. So that's nice.
She's taking precautions. Did she bring that foolish
the headgear? She brought headgear for the other kid and gave them a mouthpiece too.
That looks like what you wear at air traffic control. She
what?
Go in and hand the kid a mouthpiece. Put this in.
I'm going to whack you in the face. In the face.
You know who we need for a sponsor is Dr. Sheffield's, because they were named the official toothpaste of the Boston Red Sox.
This stuff drives me.
It does.
Out of my mind.
It does. You know how much money they must pay?
So I just saw this. The Red Sox moved into second place above the Dodgers as the second highest valued MLB franchise. So the Yankees are first at $6.4 billion or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, some ridiculous thing. And the Red Sox passed the Dodgers, probably because of this toothpaste deal.
Maybe.
They're at $4.8 billion, and the Dodgers are at $4.6
billion. So they're at $4.8 billion, and they bought them for $700 million 20 years ago.
And they LeBron just jumped on board.
He did, and that was an uproar.
Yeah, well, and that also probably increased the valuation, too, I would imagine.
I would imagine. He's a Yankees fan. Yeah. Which, made people
not anymore.
Crazy.
Not anymore, he isn't.
From Cleveland, and he's a Yankee now. Evidently, he's a Red Sox fan.
Right.
So good for him. I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, he got into the
Fenway Sports Group.
The racing thing?
Fenway Sports Group, which is all of them, the whole thing. It's the Liverpool soccer team. It's the auto racing. Okay. It's the Red Sox, the whole ball of wax.
And I think Liverpool, doesn't Liverpool bring in more money than the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think they do.
They're huge.
And they are. And I think they won the Premier League last year.
Oh, did they?
They might have even won the Champions League, but
oh wow,
I don't know.
Good for them.
Maybe.
How about winning the World Series?
Be nice.
A cargo ship recently drew a penis in a butt before getting stuck in the Suez Canal.
Yeah, this ship is still stuck, I guess. It's still stuck. Did you have you seen the pictures of this? It's unbelievable.
I see one of the pictures here.
The ship is fucking gigantic. Those containers that go on the back of 18-wheelers, there's like thousands of them on this ship. Like the ship is huge, and they have like a regular sized like backhoe trying to dig this ship out. It looks like a fucking it looks like a fucking matchbox car sitting next to an aircraft carrier. It is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Jimmy, hit the gas.
Can you imagine like me and you down there with a couple of hard hats on? Trying to dig this shit out.
We'd be sitting
on the edge of the fucking backhoe with a couple of coffees and just be like, fuck this, man. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like that. Remember that board meeting we used to talk about where they were like, look at this asshole.
Exactly right.
Can you believe this guy?
Somebody call up the mayor and tell him to go fuck himself because I'm not getting enough overtime for this.
Oh, my God. This is just priceless. The TTC has closed the Royal York Station's Grenview entrance due to a beaver. Yes, a beaver. TTC says they've notified the City of Toronto, Animal Services, and Toronto Police. There is a supervisor currently watching the beaver. I want that gig. I mean, how much does somebody need to pay you to watch beaver all day?
I mean, well, depending on
the beaver.
On what type of beaver it is, I'll watch beaver all day. This is so typically Canadian. Like, it's so 100% Canadian.
It really
Can you imagine someone in Boston shutting down, like, Park Street if there was a beaver in there? Yeah. I mean, there's huge rats in there all the time anyways.
Yeah.
And they're not closing it down.
You know what this reminds me of is on In Living Color with Jim Carrey, when he did Cherub of Justice, and he was Andrew. And he did the, you know, Woodchuck to Gray Squirrel, this walkie-talkie. This guy would be watching the beaver all day.
Yes, he would.
That would be the guy. That's, nice beaver. Thanks. Just had it stuffed. You know that human penises are shrinking because of pollution?
That's extremely unfortunate. Why aren't more people pounding their chests over climate change then is what I want to know.
Right, that's what I want to know. I mean, the ramifications are just disastrous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there's chemicals called phthalates or something.
Phthalates?
There's a lot of consonants in this word. I don't know. Phthalates?
Phthalates.
It's causing...
Like a phallus?
It's a phallus, yeah, phallic. So the chemical is causing human babies to be born with malformed genitals. So we're going to have a lot more micropenis out there.
Because of the climate.
You asked for it.
I mean, middle-aged men should be all over this shit now.
They should. They absolutely should. I mean, the average penis being 4 to 6.
Yeah, it's gonna be like 2 to 3. And then where are these people going to
be? Above average.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we should just let it go then.
We got to call it out. We should
just let it go.
You know what? It's best to just let it finish.
It's best to just let it go because then we move. You know, the average size will go down. That means we go up.
Right. So that's us with our two coffees over by the crane, just sitting there saying, you know what? Don't say a word. Just let it happen.
Just sitting there waiting for the penis size to shrink.
That's right. Speaking of short, a 42-year-old jockey was suspended for having 1,000 times the cocaine limit in his system. Isn't that deadly? When you have 1,000 times the cocaine limit?
I feel like it should be.
I feel like you should die when that happens.
I feel like it should be. I feel like that should cause you to overdose.
And especially when you're 4'8". I mean, as a jockey, how does that happen?
Well, you know what? I mean, to get on a horse and ride around the track with a bunch of other horses, you know, going however fast they're going, I mean, I would probably need some kind of extra courage to do that. I don't know if that's something I'm just doing, because if I fall off, I'm getting trampled to death. And that's not something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to anything like that, any type of trampling, because I don't like pain. So I don't want a hoof in the back of my head. I don't want that at all.
No, I don't want my skull crushed by a horse hoof.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that either. And I certainly don't want 1,000 times the legal limit of cocaine in the thing.
Maybe we should have given the cocaine to the horse to make it run faster.
Right. Yeah. That's dangerous, though, because then he just throws you, you know, miles, just throws you off the horse.
Oh, he does? That's what he does when he gets hopped up on the
cocaine. When he gets a lot of cocaine.
When he gets hopped up on the cocaine.
Just trust me on this one.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Trust me on that one. Do you know what else is? Here's the last news item. Pepsi and Peeps, the Easter candy.
Yeah.
They're getting together to make a marshmallow soda.
I saw this.
Evidently. I don't like the Peeps.
You could take all the Peeps and throw them directly in the garbage, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not a Peep.
I think they're terrible.
It's just a big, mushy marshmallow in your mouth, and I don't want that. I did, however, back in the day, my stepson, years ago, was afraid of birds. So I would take the Peeps and put one in my mouth and all of a sudden be like, oh no. And it would come out of my mouth and it would petrify him. It was the funniest thing in the world.
Okay.
Thinking that I was having birds come out of my mouth. It was kind of funny.
So you're the Ozzy Osbourne of Southern Maine. You're just biting the heads off of birds.
And just Peeps.
Spitting them out in front of your kids.
Right, I do. I spit them right out.
That's true.
I love to traumatize people.
Right.
Yeah. So I will not drink this soda because I don't drink a ton of soda.
In fact,
I haven't drank soda much at all lately. I will not drink this at all. And I'm sure other people will. And God bless.
No, I'm not a big soda drinker either at all, really anymore.
Absolutely not. But absolutely not. And that'll do it for the news, sponsored by Lops Brewing. We will come back. We're going to have Ryan Spagnoli from Pat's Pulpit back on the program. Always good to have Spags on. We'll talk about all the Patriots news coming about this offseason. We'll do it right after this break. Stay with us.
We have another special guest this week, a return visit from our good buddy from Pat's Pulpit, Ryan Spagnuolo. Spags, good to see you today.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always a blast. Hope all is well. I think I talked to you guys middle of the season, right? I think it was a few weeks ago or a few months ago.
Yeah, back when Newton was actually playing well, I think. So early on the season, I think we might have been after like game two.
Long time
ago. Yeah, so speaking of Newton, they re-signed him, the Patriots do. And I was a little surprised by it. But now I think after I think about it for a bit, what were your thoughts on the signing of Cam Newton for another year?
At first, I was a little confused. Last year was tough for a lot of reasons, right? You know, the pass catchers weren't upgraded. You know, they're throwing Jacoby Myers, your number one. I mean, that's your biggest issue right there. You boil it down, right? He's a great, great leader on and off the field. Say what you want about his play, but a really, really good leader. And when you look at the details of it, it's really $3.5 million guaranteed. It's really a backup contract. I think what they look at that is he's kind of on their back burner. If they can't get a deal done, or if they can't move up and get a guy, I think they're going to still continue to look at that position. And if they have to go into 2020 with him as their starter, or at least competing for the job in camp, I think they're like, okay, we can work with this for another year and swing the bat again next year. But I'm sure we'll get into it. But I think the time to move up and go get a quarterback is right now, right? They just signed a lot of guys to multi-year deals. They're locking up their core for the, you know, for the foreseeable future. This is the time now where you can mortgage a few picks this year and next to go up and maybe get in that 5-7 range and get a Trey Lance, get a Justin Fields, you know, one of those guys that may slip a bit because you can afford it with the amount of guys you've locked up for the next, you know, few years.
Just jumping off that point, what do you think all these signings do say about what they may look to do in the draft? You know, are they going to package some picks and try to move up for a young quarterback?
You know, it'd be really, really against what Bill Belichick has ever done. If you look at history and history this past week, he's really never spent this much. I think they realized, you know, they made some mistakes in the past, whether that be drafting, signing, kind of handcuffing their cap situation. They went out and addressed it. Tight end has been a big issue for them since Rob Gronkowski left. What they do, they signed the two best players on the market, arguably in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. They needed a versatile pass rusher that can set the edge. They go out and get a Matthew Doan. And then they beef up their front seven with Henry Anderson and Devin Godshaw. So if history's saying what they'll do, it's an uncharacteristic offseason. You heard Mike Reese and Tommy Curran talk about it. I think that can carry over to the draft and potentially move up, right? It's just a matter of how does the board shake out? I think a team like Cincinnati invested heavily in their offensive line throughout free agency. A guy like Penei Sewell would be a slam dunk pick for them. Protect Joe Burrow's blind side for the next 5+ years. If a guy like him were to fall off the board, I think Cincinnati's looking to move that pick and maybe gain some more capital this year and next. So if you can do it, I think 15, 46, and maybe a 1 or 2 next year may get you into that range. It's just, are those teams ahead of you like Carolina, like Denver, maybe even a San Francisco that are also a little bit of quarterback needy? Can they offer a little bit more and be able to swing that deal quicker than you? But I think if there's a time to do it, right now would be it.
Now, speaking of that, it looks like the Patriots have set themselves up to help a young quarterback. They got two tight ends, probably the top two tight ends on the market. They really bolstered the offensive line. They re-signed Ted Karras as a center, but then re-signed David Andrews as a center as well. And they seem to have a lot of depth there, a big line, a couple of backs who can, you know, who can run the ball. Now a couple of tight ends, two wide receivers. So they really look to put that all together. So I think it really looks like they may, you know, go get a really high draft pick and then use Cam Newton as sort of a buffer in between.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because obviously they're going to be, they did a lot of cool things with the cap this year. They pushed a lot of those big cap hits towards next year when the cap is supposed to, you know, go up astronomically due to the COVID being over and the new TV deals that are starting to come in. So what better to do than get a rookie quarterback here on a rookie contract? Very cheap money. It's easy to build around. You see what the Chiefs were able to do with Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, all these guys, these young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, they're able to go get star talent and build around them because their cap hit isn't so high as on that rookie contract. So I think it's the best situation for them to go up and get, like I said, a Fields, Wilson, Lance, whoever they have high on their board, because it's an easy for them to build around, and it's also an easy offense to kind of plop them right in and have them succeed. I mean, let's face it, if they go out and they trade the farm for a Justin Fields or someone like that to go up and get them, and they don't really improve their roster, that's not making that guy's job a lot easier. When you have a rookie quarterback in here, on a rookie contract, you want to utilize those assets, build around them, and also make that transition from the college to the pro game a lot smoother. And what do? Like you said, you go get two tight ends to dominate the middle of the field. You get two wide receivers, proven NFL talent, while also hopefully bolstering your group through the draft, getting some more youth and depth in there. So I think the situation that we saw the past week really led people to believe that that's what's coming next through the pipeline, is a rookie quarterback coming through here through the draft.
Everybody seems to be comparing these two tight ends to Gronkowski and Hernandez. How do you see the Patriots utilizing these guys? Is it going to be a lot more 12 personnel working the offense through the tight end position? And then, you know, you have the slot guy and the wide receivers, and, you know, you complement it with the running backs and so forth.
Oh, yeah, they'll be in heavy 12 personnel. I'd probably say 65, 70% of the time. Those two guys are your big money guys. They got to be on the field for pretty much every snap. But what they did is they also made it more balanced. Last year, they were so one-dimensional. They ran the ball, it felt like 40, 50 times a game, right? Mm-hmm. They got a guy like Nelson Aguilar, who's a deep threat, can stretch the field, had a really nice year in Oakland last year. They really haven't had a receiver like that since Brandon Cooks, the ability to stretch the field vertically. They have Jonnu Smith, who can kind of play, you know, that hybrid tight end type role, can do a lot of things out of the backfield, really good inline guy, and Hunter Henry through the seam. You can stretch those two guys through the middle of the field, dominate the middle of the field, and have guys like Bourne and Edelman and Myers as complementary pieces underneath that will also open up the field for them. So I think what they did was they had a plan in free agency. They had a, you know, an idea of what, how they want to run their offense and kind of go from there. And they mastered that plan. Now it's putting that product on the field.
Two guys I wanted to just get your take on the team, and that's Stephon Gilmore and Julian Edelman and what their status may be. It seems to be a foregone conclusion that Steph would be either traded or released, you know, real high contract. And then Julian Edelman, I'm not sure if that's someone that they would really consider releasing or a major restructure if he could even play. What do you feel would happen with those two?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think everybody kind of assumed Gilmore would be gone, but then you see they put a second round tender on J.C. Jackson, which everyone kind of assumed a first round, which if you're putting a first round tender on a guy, chances are no one's going to touch him because they're not going to give up their first round pick this year.
Sure.
They're a guy that they got to pay big money to. But they put a second round tender on. Maybe it's to, you know, put him out there, get a feel for his market, and they'll match it. And that could certainly be it too. But they have two of the top two cornerbacks on their team with an uncertainty in their future. Gilmore carries a one year, $7 million deal. He's not playing a snap on that. They moved a lot of money from this year to last offseason to kind of up his pay a little bit after becoming the defensive player of the year. If I had to guess, I'd put some feelers out there for what you got for J.C. Jackson. You know, if somebody signed him that second round tender, extend Gilmore and take the extra second. But I think you can afford to lose one of them, probably Jackson, even though Gilmore's age might scare some teams. But I'm kind of in the boat where I'll pay Gilmore for another 3-4 years because I know he's got a lot of elite football left. And if somebody were to offer Jackson money and give up their second round pick, I'll take the extra second for more ammo to go up and get a guy.
So what do you think of Bob Kraft's comments that he made about the players being kind of like stocks and the amount of money that he's spent this offseason? What's your take on kind of what Kraft said?
You know, I didn't really see too much of it, but I did note that he did say, you know, we used to make fun of teams that spend so much, so we'll see how it plays out. Maybe seems like he wasn't the one that was writing the check. Maybe it was Bill kind of forced his hand a little bit, but I don't know. I just think that's typical ownership. They do such a great job in-house. But like I said, it's so uncharacteristic for them to spend so much, so we really haven't heard this type of, you know, content come from him. But I think it's a matter of there was a ton of holes on the offense and defensive side of things. You know, they're kind of having to fill some holes that were developed through bad drafting the last few years. I mean, I think Bill gets a lot of bad rap for his drafting, but he certainly isn't as bad as people will tell you. But like, you know, the Harry pick, Michelle, a lot of questionable picks the last few years that I think are starting to haunt them. So when you got to do that, and when you got to put a team on the field to compete and win and not repeat what you did last year, you got to spend a little bit. So, you know, a lot of those contracts, obviously big money, but like I said, a lot of those deals may not look so big in a few years with the cap going up astronomically due to, you know, COVID and you know, the TV deals starting to come in.
All right. So we do this segment called Five Questions to Two Assholes. And we just ask you five random questions and we'll give it a go right now.
Okay.
Question number one, by the end of this season, who do you think is the quarterback of the New England Patriots?
Cam Newton. I think it, right now that's a safe bet. That's how I'm supposed to answer, right? Or am I supposed to call someone an asshole here?
No. I mean, you could call Matt an asshole and then just answer the question normally if you want to.
Right.
No, I'm just playing. No, but I think unless something comes through the pipe, you know, via trade of Jimmy Garoppolo, which I think is kind of history at this point. I think that had a lot of smoke earlier. He would have been my guest if he interviewed me 3 weeks ago. But I think given what's kind of transpired here and the situation for a rookie quarterback, I know I've talked about it a lot. I think with them, it's a great guy to mentor. Cam's on a one-year deal. He knows how to be a professional. He's had a ton of success in this league. You got him for 1 year. If you get a rookie in here and he's ready to play right away, he beats out Cam, he beats out Stidham, whoever else they have in there, hey, props to him, he won the job. But I think the best situation for them is to roll with Cam and have that rookie quarterback, if they were to go up and get a guy, take a Patrick Mahomes type approach where they sit for three quarters of the year, they get some starts here towards the end of the season if you have a playoff spot locked up or if you're out of contention.
Question number two, if you could have any superpower, what would you pick?
Time travel. I'm a big, I got to turn the page at some points in my life. I love talking about my college hockey and high school hockey experiences. So I'd be able to time travel and relive things. I think that'd be cool.
That really would be cool. That's a good one. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but in the Globe, Chad Finn a little bit ago had a most overrated Boston sports athlete. We've talked about it here. Who is the most overrated Boston sports athlete?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. So did they have to have success here or just like even like draft type or anything like that?
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you think.
I'd have to go with Tyler Seguin. He had a ton of success here, but, you know, couldn't stay out of the bars, couldn't put the bottle down, couldn't, you know, learn how to be a pro. You know, scored some big goals in 11, but in 2013, they really needed him. And there was rumors of him in Toronto when they were out there. Obviously, that's his hometown. He was showing up for games 3 and 4 wherever in Toronto in the same clothes for the last 3 nights. He was going out. They had to hire a security team to kind of keep him in the hotel. So I think him. I think he underperformed. Obviously, they didn't get much for him in a trade. But then if you look at his playoff stats, he really hasn't done much in Dallas either.
No, he really hasn't. He hasn't been the player that warrants the number two pick.
This is definitely a better one, but I just have such a bitterness towards him because I think he has so much talent. And just
No, but that's an interesting one.
Being in Boston at such a young age, I mean, I couldn't imagine being 18 coming off a Stanley Cup and having the keys to the city. You know, like, I don't blame him, but, you know, you gotta learn how to be a pro.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one. Question number four. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck. It's got to be fuck. I say it 100 times a day.
Nice. Nice.
Hopefully I can curse on this pod. I'm sure you guys don't
care. Yes, you can.
You absolutely can.
Yeah, there's been worse said.
Okay, good. That's the go-to.
So here is question five. Smitty and I last week did our own versions of the Wendy's 4 for $4. What is your 4 for $4 from Wendy's?
I don't eat Wendy's much, man. I'm not a big fast food guy, but if I've had it before. I'll go with a double cheeseburger, medium fry. I'll go with if they got a 6-piece, I'll go with that. Do I get a drink with that? Does that count as the four?
Yeah, sure. You can get a drink. We got Frosties.
Yeah, we got Frosties. You can
get it, whatever.
I'm not a big Frosty guy with my fast food. I'll go with just a medium Sprite. Keep it simple.
Yeah, pretty much the same, except I got the Frosty instead of the soda.
Okay, there you go.
Well, Spags, we really enjoy having you on, and we'll have you on again right around draft time if you have time.
Anytime. Doing a lot with the draft. Obviously, the spreadsheet got some rankings out, you know, got mock drafts and threads on prospects. So anything you guys need, let me know. I'm happy to jump on. You guys are a lot of fun.
And thanks again to our buddy Ryan Spagnoli from Pat's Pulpit. He's an excellent follow on Twitter. Has all the great Pat's news and information. Spags is a friend of the program.
Might have him on again around draft time. He's got a lot of good draft information out there now, charts and mock drafts and so forth for the Pat's Pulpit. So I think around draft time, we're going to have him on again, see what happens with the Patriots and picking out this quarterback.
Should definitely be an interesting draft for the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I still don't think they'll pick a quarterback in the first round very high. I think if they do, they may trade down. But, you know, there's been rumors around, circulating around different people. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is still in the mix, especially since the 49ers look like they're going to take one of the top quarterbacks.
Yeah, moved up to number three.
Yeah, so that makes it interesting for the Patriots. So we'll see who they pick, but we'll have Spags on and we'll talk all about that right around draft time, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, end of April. So we'll be able to, maybe we can sneak him in there for that for that Sunday episode and talk a little patch draft.
Sure.
All right. It is time now for Missed Connections. All I see is missed opportunity. And here is one. Hey, Dave, it's Juliana from chat. I had a very difficult time chatting because he stopped going to work. But all good now. And notice your Nightwoke account wasn't up anymore. Ugh, dot, dot, dot. It's okay to call me now, so just make sure it's during the daytime. Missing those chats.
Juliana, it sounds like, is an adulterer.
She is. She is an adulterer and a heathen.
and she's doing naughty business during the day.
And if I wasn't an inch taller than Jesus, I would come down hard on her. I would.
You'd ask her to tell her sins. I can't even. What's the word that starts with C? Confess her sins.
You gotta narrow it down. I have no idea.
I was gonna say convince, but I knew that wasn't right. Confess. No. Confess her sins.
She's an adulterer or adulteress. Is it an adulteress?
Yeah. Whatever. She's in an adult dress and adulterating. Adulterer.
It is against her values as a. I don't even know if she's Catholic.
Yeah, she maybe probably isn't.
Jesus not intimidating enough? I mean, he's only 5'5". I mean, people not intimidating.
Maybe they're not scared of the Jesus.
No, maybe they're not. But Juliana is definitely getting some. What is Nightwoke? Have you heard of that?
Never in my life.
No. Do you have to start a conversation by saying "you up?" Question mark. Do you have to do that? A Nightwoke?
Oh, maybe you have to say "are you woke?"
Are you woke? Juliana's woke.
She is. She's looking for love.
For all the wrong places.
Yeah, she sure is.
That is my missed connections.
Okay, so my missed connection. All I see is missed opportunity. Looking for Egypt. It's a weird title. Met you about a month ago on Blue Hill Ave by Grove Hall. It was like 3 a.m. and you were just coming out. Very pretty black woman. Said your name was Egypt and you lived in Dorchester. You gave me your number, but it's not working. Wah, wah, wah.
Oh.
Would love to meet you again. So,
wow.
This guy's looking for Egypt. The person. the person, not the country. Yeah. Egypt is straight ahead. Take a left at the pyramids.
Yes.
And tell King Tut I said hello.
If you could be named after a country, which one would it be?
I have no idea. After a country?
I'm trying to think of a cool one. Would you be named like Istanbul?
No.
Istanbul Smith?
Canada? Or, China?
Or Norway Smith?
Finland?
Like Finland. How about like one of those Croatia?
Mexico? Costa Rica?
Kazakhstan? Kazakhstan?
Turkey. Turkey. I'll be named Turkey.
Turkey Smith.
Yep.
They have it. So Egypt. You know what? The number didn't work. I wonder if she got the swerve, the wrong number, like in that episode of Friends when they gave her the wrong number.
Yeah, probably.
I think he got the wrong number.
I think I should go with Ireland. Well, that Ireland's a girl's name, isn't it, though?
Ireland can be a girl's name.
Yeah. So yeah. I should.
Tyler can be.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I shouldn't go with Ireland. Wales?
No. Wales Smith.
Brussels? Belgium?
Belgium Smith. Yeah.
Germany.
Why not? Iraq. Iraq Smith.
Yeah. Iran.
I mean, we can table this and come back to it.
We'll just try out all the countries. We'll see how all the countries go with my last name. What about you, asshole? What are you picking? Let's just go through all the countries in your last name.
I don't think there's a country named asshole.
Ireland Barry. Mexico Barry.
Mexico, way down here. I don't know. Maybe Antarctica. Barry.
Brazil Barry. There you go.
Brazil Barry. Brazil nuts.
Chile nuts. Barry.
Chile. We have to call me Chile, not Chile. Okay. Chile.
Chile.
You have to pronounce it correctly.
Argentina Barry.
Barry, yeah. So we'll come back next week with new names. But until then, that is the end of the Sportsmanship Podcast, Episode 12, Season 2. We appreciate you being with us again. And we hope that you'll join us again next week for our special guest, Smitty. It's going to be terrific.
It is. I'm at a loss for words. Plus, I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, so I'm trying to be one of our really good good guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to be a little coy about it, so I don't give anything away. I don't want to.
Yeah,
give
we never really do it until we actually nail them down.
Right.
Until the interview's done, and then we say, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
But I think this is going to happen, so I'm pretty excited about it. So until then, we will see everybody again next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside.